Yo,
happy Women's History Month.
Yes. And I know you got the facts ready.
Oh, no. You are a factician. So if you could you're self-proclaimed. You're the self-proclaimed factician. And so if you can do Black History Month, you can definitely do Women's History Month. So I want us to get right into it. What is your women's fact for the opening of Women's History Month?
Okay. So you're going to put me on the spot in front of National Podcast.
I thought you'd be ready. I did say in the previous podcast.
No one said I'm not ready.
Then you're not on the spot. You're completely prepared.
Okay.
Okay. So I did say in the previous podcast that I expect you to have your facts down for Women's History Month.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So today I want to shout out one of the most talented, beautiful track athletes of all time, Florence Griffith Joyner.
Okay, so, FloJo.
FloJo set the record that is still stands today for the women's 100 meters and the women's 200 meters. And like, you know, in track and field, records fall like every year. And the Jamaicans are bringing all the heat, as are the American sprinters. And nobody's beating FloJo's record. She set a record in 1988. Of 10.49 seconds in the 100 meters and 21.34 seconds in the 200. And these are records that have stood since 1988, so over 35 plus years, she's holding the record. She's an American woman, she's a Black woman, and that is our Women's History Month fact of the day.
You should have seen Alan clamoring to come up with a fact. You should have seen the stalling method that was used, but you came through. So since you brought up FloJo, you know they're supposed to be doing a documentary about her. And do you know who's playing her?
I have no idea, but I'm excited.
Tiffany Haddish.
What? You know what's crazy? They actually do look alike, though.
So supposedly she's been getting in really great shape for this. She's been training really hard, and she is supposed to play FloJo in this documentary that's coming up.
Hmm. That's crazy. They actually do resemble one another. I don't know what her personality is like. I'm actually I'm good with Tiffany Haddish playing this role, as long as she actually does the work of like trying to look the part and like bring up the actual, you know, the person she's playing more so than herself, her own personality. I'm here for it.
I don't know Tiffany Haddish. So I don't find Tiffany Haddish to be funny. Right. So I'm not going to say like, I don't like her, but her humor doesn't whet my appetite. But I don't know if I know her at a serious role, you know, so I'm curious to see, you know, her acting chops in a serious role.
Well, here's her chance to shine.
Yeah. Hopefully she don't do FloJo wrong.
And knowing how Black women do it, I expect her to kill it.
You know, listen, I'm here for that. So it is the beginning of March.
Yes.
That means we are closer to spring.
Mm-hmm.
That means this year is flying by, but
really
it's
is.
Getting warmer. This was a very mild winter. I know that I'm in D.C. versus New Jersey, but if this is what D.C. winters are always like, then they've never had a winter.
That's funny.
It's been warm. Like we had like 70 degree weather last week.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So it is, you know, I do not like this global warming situation, but. Does that
You're
mean like summer's gonna be crazy hot?
So or I think global warming is just about extremes on both sides. So actually super cold in the winter, super hot in the summer, and sometimes super warm in the winter. So we're getting it all.
Okay. Well, we'll have to figure it out for sure.
I was in DC this week, by the way. DC's got some great live music. Man, I caught two different live music hole in the wall spots this week in DC.
Yeah, there's a lot of hole in the wall, or not even not so much hole in the wall spots as far as live music. Thursday night, I was considering going out for live music. There's this specific like restaurant and bar, Black owned, and they do live music every Thursday night. And it's a vibe. I ended up being too tired to do that. But it was something I was considering. Friday night, I know a Friday night spot in DC that plays really great live music. There's tons of live music in DC.
Yeah, go out and find you some live music for Women's History Month, y'all.
I don't know if you need to do that. Go clean something. Wash some clothes.
What? Sexist.
I know, men for the men. Yes, okay, please. Okay. Clean the house. Wash your clothes. Please stop throwing your stuff in the corner. You know, help out. Fill up a gas tank. Wash a car.
Hey.
I don't know. The last time I've seen a man at his residence wash a car.
Yeah, I also hear that those things are foreplay for some.
They are. That's a fact. So it could be a historical month for everybody.
Oh my gosh.
If you go ahead and do what you need to do.
That's crazy. So
I was out of town for a couple of days attending a board meeting. And when I came back, like my fiance had cleaned up. He had folded clothes. Oh, I will say this. He is not a messy person. Like, he's a dude, right? So clothes definitely hit the floor. But like, he cleans, like if he recognizes like, all right, this is getting ridiculous, he's just going to start cleaning. And then when he gets into cleaning mode, he's very much so he's into it. He's on it. Now, he definitely complains about the dishes. Like,
yeah, as he should.
When we first met, he was like, don't touch the dishes. I don't want you to wash the dishes. I got
what
it. You know,
won't do. For love.
He's like, you know, you're cooking, you're doing all this. I don't ever want you to touch the dishes. I got the dishes. Now, if I even look at the dishes, he walks out. Like, he's not trying to see no dishes. He's like, literally asked me, like, where did these dishes come from? Like, what do you mean? Like, know where they came from. Like, it's very much now, he'll vacuum, mop, wash clothes, clean the bathroom, all that. But them dishes, it's not the same. Okay. Already. We ain't even married yet. Already.
Hey, listen, my man, you know, whoever you are, nameless fiance, who I think is a hell of a guy. Like, you got to have a code, man. Listen, it's a 10-yard fight in a relationship. You need to establish protocol early so that you can. It's like, you know, it's a battle of inches. He can't here doing all that
stuff.
That's
not the hill you want to die on. It's other things. It's other things. That's not the hill that you want to die. He makes the bed. Like, he always makes the bed. Mm. Like, die on that hill.
You know what's crazy? I don't even know how beds get made. Like, real talk. Because, like... I get in the bed and sometimes it's just made. I'm like, wait, what?
See?
I think making a bed is really like one of the dumbest things you could spend
time
doing.
It's not.
Because I'm saying like I'm getting out of the bed. So why do I care? I'm getting back in. Oh, good. The covers are moved already.
You're not immediately getting back in, first of all. And it's just a sense of peace.
I'm leaving. I'm going.
Okay, then why flush the toilet? Because you're going to come back. And you're going to have to go to the bathroom again.
That's different. That's nothing.
So what's the point?
Similar.
Very much the same. So make the bed. They don't get magically made. There's not a bed-making fairy.
Sure?
For Women's History Month, men, make the bed. Like, and make it. Don't do what y'all do. Men, I think y'all do this on purpose so that women don't ask y'all to make the bed. You lay the sheets flat and then just lay them on top of the pillows. Like, just as long as, like no one knows there's pillows under there. Like, you just
secret pillows.
Flatten it out. And it looks crazy. And you know, you've never walked into your room and your bed's been made like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how beds get made, but big shout to those bed makers out there, secret society.
I have a question, and then we can start our topic for the day. How many pillows are on your bed?
Probably only like two, maybe four, two to four, probably like three, two to three. We have a king bed and my wife used to put all those pillows on and I just kept throwing them off. And I think she eventually just gave up. Like, we used to have a girl looking bed and I was like,
pillows
are ridiculous. And I have systematically gotten rid of pillows.
Okay. So for Women's History Month, you owe your wife pillows.
How many do you have?
Decorative pillows. Get her some decorative pillows for Women's History Month.
Another thing that's silly, like, why am I putting pillows on just to take them off to go to sleep?
It because it'll bring her peace. That's why. Mm. Okay. We have six. We have six pillows currently.
And for two people, for two heads.
Mm-hmm. We have six pillows and, you know.
Where do they sleep? Where do the pillows sleep when y'all are sleeping? How many get slept on?
Two get slept on.
Two? Okay. Two, so you got four on. Superfluous, wasteful, will end
first
up in
all,
a landfill
the
pillows.
Thing, that's not what it is, because you want options and you need different pillows for different things. You need a pillow to go to sleep. It's a different pillow to watch TV. It's a different pillow if y'all just up not. Kicking it and talking. It's not wasteful. The same pillow because it's like a flat.
Up talking.
Then a medium flat.
That's what
and then you need
for.
The. You need the high pillow if y'all are up watching TV. So you actually need all these pillows. They're options.
Okay. So I thought you didn't even put a TV in your bedroom. I thought that was your thing.
So you said inches. You talked about these inches.
Okay. Gave up on this one? Yeah.
I gave up.
1 point for Beyonce.
But the reason why I gave up on it, honestly, the reason why I let him win that one, you know, he does have a daughter. And I thought about like nights when she spends the night. Like, are we all subjected to what she's watching on TV? Like, nah. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not. If we're up watching Cocoa Melon or nothing like that.
Yeah, I got you.
I need to free myself. So.
Okay. All right. So you.
TV in the bedroom makes sense if somebody can just, you know, escape.
All right. Big shout. So we should get into our topic. We have doubled our small talk budget today. So today's topic is mortgage madness. And the reason why
it is March madness.
There you go. You see what we did? You see what we did? We're on brand. One of our clients hit us up this week. He had been, I won't say hoodwinked, but nearly hoodwinked by
Bamboozle.
A mortgage. Yeah, almost led astray.
Mm.
Practically run amok. and into potentially refinancing a really, really good mortgage. Because we all know that a few years ago, mortgage rates were like
everything.
Super low. Like literally like once in a lifetime low.
Yeah.
Like there was a point a few years ago where the average mortgage rate in this country was 4%. And there's a lot of folks that have rates lower than 4%, including the person I'm looking at on my podcast right
Facts.
Now.
Facts.
And yet. This guy was literally about to refinance his mortgage at a higher rate, which seems strange to me. But the more research we did, we're finding there's a significant number of folks who are refinancing mortgages. And we got to talk about it.
We got to talk
about it because, you know, for one, we got to keep in mind mortgage people are not fiduciaries. Like they really are salespeople. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but they're not there to look out for your best interest.
Right.
And they get paid by writing mortgages. And the bigger and the longer, the better. And we want to make sure that you all know how mortgages work, how to navigate this high interest rate environment, because homes are still being sold, and really just how to manage this debt. This is for a lot of people your biggest debt. So we're talking about mortgages today.
Right. So let's get into some stats, right? Like, I don't know if people want stats around mortgage, but you need the background. You need the information. So literally for March 1st, 2024, the current average interest rate for, you know, the benchmark 30-year fixed mortgage is 7.12%.
That's high.
It is, but like, it's lower than like what it was.
Yeah. Like I'm kind of. No, it was 8% in November. Average.
So it's coming down. It's coming down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's not. But to your point, it's not what it was in COVID. It wasn't them twos. It wasn't those twos that we were getting in COVID. So it's a considerable difference. And so for homeowners who are looking to finance, today's current average 30-year refinance interest rate, not too far off, it's 7.1%. Right. So for the average new mortgage, it's 7.12. And for the average refinance, it's 7.1.
Still high.
But today's current average for a 15-year fixed refinance interest rate, because a lot of people are like, listen, I'm going to refinance, but not for 30 years. You're not about to get another 30 years out of me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do 15-year fixed. I'm probably not going to take a ton of money on this refinance. You never know. So the average 15-year fixed refinance interest rate is 6.6%.
So that's more than a half a point of savings if you're willing to pay that higher mortgage.
Yeah. I was going to say savings. I definitely think I use the term loosely for sure. And again, this is if you get a fixed mortgage. A lot of people are still out here getting these adjustable rate mortgages as well. And that's just a roller coaster ride.
But I think right now, like, there's a strong argument for an adjustable rate mortgage right now, only from the simple fact that everybody expects that rates are going to go down. And what that means is that as they go down, I benefit over time. Like, I think an adjustable rate mortgage is something to be considered right now.
So to your point, the current mortgage rate for an ARM, an adjustable rate mortgage right now, is 6.19%.
You see what I'm saying?
That's different from all of these out here. And that's how they get you. Again, this is a strategy. We're not saying like one is super right and one is super wrong. But right now, an adjustable rate mortgage is 6.19%. That's the average. And we've talked about how 30-year fixed is a 7.12, 7.10 for a refinance. So you might have to weigh that option. Like, listen, I'll take the lower interest rate right now and I'll just ride the ride.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saving almost a full percentage point by being in an ARM. And the way these ARMs work, like, we're looking at a 5-1 ARM, which means the rate is fixed for the first 5 years. And then after 5 years, it starts to float, but only once per year. So you're going to get once per year, you'll get a rate adjustment. A 5-1 ARM will also have sort of a cap and maybe a floor on how low or how high interest rates could go. So, you know, it could be a good idea because, I mean, if you're getting a mortgage right now, you might be wanting to refinance it in a couple years anyway. So why not consider the product that gets you some automatic potential rate reductions in the future without having to go out and do a bunch of paperwork?
When you said floor, you know what popped in my head?
Uh-oh.
How low can you go? Can you go down low? You take it to the flow? Like, literally, that's literally what popped in my head when you said down to the floor. I'm like, listen, we could go as low as you're trying to go.
Yeah. One hop this time. Cha-cha, real smooth. Yo, so I played Black Card Revoked for my birthday. And one of the questions was, in that song, which direction do you go first? I'm going to ask you.
Oh, man. You have to sing the whole song now.
All right, start over. Start in your head. Run it. Which way do you go first? Is it front, back, left, or right? Cha-cha, real smooth. Now go to work.
I'm just going to guess because it takes a long time to get to that part. I'm going to the right.
You are wrong.
You go to the left?
Yeah, to the left.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So ask me about another line then.
I'm going to take your... All right, I'm going to take your black card, but it's okay. Everybody clap your hands. Take it back now, y'all. One hop this time. Right foot, left stop. Left foot. Yeah, you go to the left first and then cha-cha.
You know what? Honestly, I'm really tired. Actually, you brought up something that you probably shouldn't have brought up. I feel like I've attended a lot of events, music, where there's music, there's a music portion, whether it's a cookout or a formal gala, but, like, you know, there's a dancing portion. Everybody at this point is just straight leaving out the electric slide. It's like, it doesn't matter anymore. It's the origin, right? Like, it should start with the electric slide before y'all start hopping into all these new things and Detroit line dances and Tamia and all of that. Like, it's got to start with the electric slide. If I don't hear dun 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 dun, like, I don't know if I'm prepared for line dancing. So I just want to say to all the DJs out here, to everybody making playlists for whatever you got going on, your weddings, your cookouts. We said it's getting warmer, so y'all are prepping for things and events. Don't invite me if y'all not going to start with the electric slide.
Okay. I'm going to give you a quiz on the electric slide then. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Let's try it.
Okay. How many woogies?
Two.
Correct.
I knew
woogie,
that.
Woogie, woogie, woogie.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Okay. How many grooves? I've got to move.
Right.
I'm going on a party ride. Okay, how many grooves?
I think it's only two.
Three grooves. See, you're a big Electric Slide fan. You don't even know how many.
That's because they're not playing it like that. That's the issue.
Yeah, that's true. The issue. That's true. It's a travesty. So we got to go to break. We wasted a lot of time. When we come back, we're going to really get into this mortgage madness because we got to break this down.
Yeah, for sure. And please play the Electric Slide. Stream the Electric Slide. Okay. They could use it. They can use all the money they can get. People are not playing it. So we'll be back. I'm Tiffany so Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back.
Yes.
I'm out of breath because I just did the electric slide.
And poorly, might I add.
I kill the electric slide. First of all, and I add a little jazz on mine. If you're ever behind me in an electric slide, you're going to get a lot. You're going to see a lot. I don't give the basic electric slide. I add all types of dips and wiggles. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a spicy electric slide.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we want it spicy, but fine. We're giving stats on mortgages and we're talking about mortgage strategies today. So I want to give a couple more stats. The 30-year fixed FHA loan average rate is 6.39%.
Shout out to the FHA loan.
If you qualify for FHA, significantly lower.
Yeah, I had an FHA loan. That was my original mortgage was an FHA loan. I refinanced out of it fairly quickly, like within 9 months. But shout out to the FHA loans.
Yeah, man. With an FHA loan, you can borrow up to $498,000. That's a solid loan because the average existing home that was sold last month, the price was $379,000. So if you're buying...
I don't know who told you that.
I'm not saying in D.C. or New Jersey.
No, I'm saying like my FHA loan was more than that. So you're saying that's the average?
No. The FHA loan limits...
Lies. Lies.
If you live in a high cost area, it can go up to 1.1 million.
There we go. Not to say that I live in a high cost area. Just saying that.
Not saying I'm driving a foreign. Nothing like that. I got you.
Not saying that, but I'm saying that it could go higher.
Yeah. Yeah. There is an income adjuster on FHA loans. Yeah. My first mortgage was an FHA mortgage as well.
Yeah. So. I hope my next mortgage is an FHA. Yeah. Whenever that happens.
All right. So let's keep going through these stats. So a lot of people are actually using cash more and more to buy homes, either fully for cash, which implies maybe they're not from this country because I don't know who's got all that much cash. We're seeing a stat that applications to buy new homes going up by 19% while mortgage demand is down by 5%. So that implies like people are still closing, but a lot less are using mortgages because rates are high. Okay. Yeah, it must be nice, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like because mortgage rates were high, like you mentioned, people are putting more money down because they need that mortgage payment to be what it needs to be, right? So they're trying to figure out ways to come up with the upfront money so that they can have a mortgage payment that is comfortable for them.
Yeah. And in terms of what's happening in the housing market, we're seeing that housing sales are actually growing. We saw in January that housing... Nationally, existing home sales grew by 3%. We saw the housing prices are actually up by about 5%. And especially for mid-priced homes, we're seeing homes are selling quickly with multiple offers because inventory is low. I think there's a lot of folks who probably would want to sell their home, but because rates are so high, they've been frightened into not selling. And therefore, the few homes that are for sale, they're going quickly and with multiple offers.
Yeah. So I had a conversation with my realtor probably a month or so ago who, you know, helped me sell my dad's house and his estate when he passed. And that's exactly what she was saying. And she kind of showed me, she pulled up kind of her realtor system and showed at the mid price point, because my dad was like a mid price house, at that mid price point, there were actually no homes available in that town that weren't senior living homes. So like if you...
Crazy.
Right, or like a family or a young family or an emerging family or whatever, or you just move into the neighborhood, there was literally no other inventory except for senior living.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, no, it's a really tight market for homes. And, you know, having rates really high is not good, but certainly if you're selling, it's a good market still, even though mortgage rates are really high. But here's the stat, the final stat that really shocked me is that when you look at the percentage of mortgages that are for new purchases versus refinancings, what would you guess, Tiffany? I know you're looking at the notes, but imagine you weren't. What would you guess is the percentage of mortgages that are being refinanced right now? Like if there were 100 mortgage applications coming across the desk of mortgage professionals, what percentage of those are being refinanced versus new mortgages?
Not looking at the notes, I would say 17%.
31%. So nearly one third of mortgages are just refis. Now, you know that rates are high. Like, so typically when people are refinancing mortgages, it's to get a lower rate. So that means that there's a bunch of folks that are refinancing mortgages to get a higher rate. Like, make that make sense.
It's got to be something else going on. So I don't know if it's a need for like access to capital or I don't know, but something's got to be going on.
Yeah. My issue is that there's so many people that maybe just don't, I don't know. I don't know if they don't understand how the mortgage thing is supposed to work. I don't know if they've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray. But like, there's so many people who have mortgages that you're supposed to pay it off at some point, and they're going to have them for their whole lives. So we should talk about how mortgages really work, how they're supposed to work, and then get into some strategies for dealing with these high interest rates.
So let me start, because here's the thing to me that's Captain Obvious, but it's really not obvious to a lot of people. And I get it, right? Like when you're in the process of buying a home, whether it's because, you know, it's your first home or you're starting a family or, you know, you're doing well and you want to start to build wealth, whatever the reason is, all you're thinking about is I want to qualify for a decent loan. I want to have a decent interest rate and I want to have an affordable mortgage. And that is it. Like that is the beginning and the end of it. I don't think most people going into it realizing that you're supposed to pay it off at some point. Like the goal of a 30-year mortgage or a 15-year mortgage, but whatever the term is, the goal of the mortgage is to pay it off by retirement so that retirement is easier because you don't have nearly the same expenses and all you really have to worry about is property taxes.
Say that again for the people in the back.
Yeah, the goal of the mortgage is to pay it off. Here's the thing. Y'all get mortgages confused with student loans. We're not paying those, okay? We've decided this is not the same thing, okay? And the interest rate in your student loans is less, but that's we're not doing that. Just keep paying the minimum balance on a student loan.
Sure.
For the mortgage, though, the goal really is to pay it off. So, like refinancing unnecessarily, unless it's like a real strategy or an emergency, the refinancing over and over again, so that you just continue to have larger and more payments until the day that you die is not life's goal.
Yeah. Some people refinance mortgages, you know, to get a lower rate, which clearly is not happening. Some people might be getting a better product. Like, for example, when I got my mortgage that I'm in right now, it's actually an ARM, right? And so some people have to refinance because they don't want to be in that ARM anymore. Maybe they want to lock something in. Some people refinance for cash out. Right. Some do it to consolidate other debts. So the person we talked about earlier, he's got a few business debts. And so his goal was to refinance for that reason. But the thing about it is, like, I know so many people who bought homes in the 80s and they still have mortgages today.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
1980. I mean, Tiffany, you were born in 1980 something. That was over 40 years ago. So like you really should be good. So meaning like every time you refi, if you're getting another 30-year mortgage, if you are only focusing on the payment but not the big picture, you're adding years to the mix. Yeah.
It's not just adding years to your mortgage. It's adding working years to your life. These are years that you're going to have to continue to work to be able to pay your mortgage, right? And so like that's not what we're trying to do. We do want you to build wealth. And so this is an appreciating asset, but like you just keep pulling from it. And it all it does is require you to have to continue to work. And so you've got this house that you probably don't even get to enjoy the way you want to because you ain't never at home.
Lord. Yeah. So there's someone out here right now who's thinking about refinancing their mortgage and they're probably talking to a mortgage person. And by the way, mortgage people are good. I'm not saying they're bad people, but like their job is to get you to do something so that they can get paid. Like bottom, right? Like they are no different than a car salesman. And again, they, I'm sure, mean no harm. They know you need a car, but you can't go to your mortgage person and saying, hey, can you help me out? Right.
Yeah.
So the things I want you to think about, don't just think about payment. Think about what year will my mortgage be paid off? And what year will it be paid off if I refinance? Like, is it a longer amount of time? If so, that might be a problem. The next thing you want to think about is what's the total amount of interest I will be paying from this point forward on my mortgage versus how much will I be paying on this new mortgage? Because these 30-year mortgages, there's a lot of interest baked inside of them.
Correct. So every time you refinance, not only are you adding like more years to the debt, but you're adding more years to the interest, right? So for example, say there's a $400,000 mortgage, right? The amount of interest that that mortgage expenses over 30 years at 4%, and ain't none of y'all getting 4% right now. So this is just like in a dream scenario, but a $400,000 mortgage loan over 30 years, on top of that $400,000, at 4%, you're going to pay an additional $287,000.
That's a lot.
At 6%, which most of y'all aren't getting right now either, you're going to pay an additional $463,000.
That's
so
a lot.
So at this point, you're paying more interest than the actual mortgage product, than the actual home.
That's
now,
crazy.
At 7%, which we said right now, the average for a 30-year fix is 7.12. So if you get a 7% interest rate on your $400,000 mortgage loan, you pay $558,000 in interest on top of that $400,000. So at that point, you are paying a total of $958,000. Here's what's funny to me. You wouldn't have qualified for a $950,000 loan.
Word. but you got one.
But you got one.
That's crazy.
That is how you need to look at that. And so that's, again, without refinancing, just paying your mortgage, you know, not doing any extra payments or not lapsing in any payments. But that's how much you end up paying in interest.
Yeah. A good person to talk to if you're thinking about refinancing, I don't know, maybe your financial advisor, someone that does not stand to gain, like someone that doesn't sell mortgages, like talk to them because they can help you to run this math for yourself to figure out how that interest is going to work and if you're adding years to your mix or not. And I don't want to see folks with full 30-year mortgages, because by the way, there's no age limit on mortgages. Isn't that crazy? You could be 85 years old and refinance to a 30-year mortgage at 85.
That's wild. I do think there should be limits. And not because I'm an ageist and I don't think older people should be able to buy homes. Actually, I think it gets predatory at a certain point.
Yeah. Well, they'll let you do it. And just because they let you do it don't mean you should. So here's another thing about how mortgages work. When you have a mortgage, especially a new mortgage, would you believe that in the first 10 years, you've already paid 50% of all that interest?
So but how much principal have you actually paid is the question.
Yeah, that means you've barely paid hardly any principal.
Like, because they're going to get their money up front.
In that example that Tiffany gave of buying a $400,000 house at 7% and you're paying $558,000 in total interest, so you've paid half of that, almost $300,000 in interest alone in those first 10 years.
So in those first 10 years, you're paying your mortgage, you're proud. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm minding my business, just paying my mortgage, going to work. You actually really haven't paid no mortgage. You really just pay interest. Like, you actually haven't even, you haven't even paid for a room in that house yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if your mortgage payment is $1,900, there might be your first mortgage payment, $1,300 and some change is going towards interest, and only $500 is going towards principal. So going back to this idea of refinancing, you're now being put into a new product where most of the money is going to the bank in interest or profit. And that's why, like, you know, if you've got a mortgage you've had for a while, even if your rate ain't the best, even if your product ain't the best, the fact that you've got years in means that there's going to be a day when it's going to be paid off. And we got to really be thinking about what is that final blessed day when I've got no more payments.
So here's one thing that I think about. I had considered refinancing my mortgage again. Mm. Not right now, but I was watching interest rates. And the reason was, is because I do know you can refinance into a shorter term.
Mm.
So instead of having a 30-year mortgage, I was going to refinance to a 15-year.
Okay. You're leading right into the next point. We should talk about strategies around mortgages. What are some things you could do? Because I like the idea of having a mortgage and paying it off in 15 years. This is a math equation, right? Like you could refinance and that's going to give you a new contract for paying the mortgage off sooner. Or just about every mortgage allows you to prepay it. Not every mortgage, but most mortgages allow you to prepay. And prepaying is nothing more than adding some extra principal to your payments. So you could have a mortgage that you want to get paid off early, and you could do it by just paying it, by paying extra payments towards it.
Yeah,
like you could take a 30-year mortgage and start to do your payments a little differently and cut 15 years from the mortgage. And we'll talk about some strategies for how to cut years off your mortgage.
So the most common strategy, and I see this all the time and people bring it up all the time. I have a funny story. One of my friends who is he's a car loan director. So like he's the person where they're like, I got to go talk to the supervisor and see if we can get you this loan. They go talk to him. He says yay or nay. They sit in there and kick it for a little bit just to make you sweat. And he comes back out and tells you.
I hate
like,
that guy, by the way.
Like, that's why you don't see him.
Yeah, I hate that person.
Yeah, he just sits in the office. So my friend is that guy. And one day we're just kicking it. We're like on vacation together. We travel together. And he's like, yeah, let me give you a little bit of advice, T. He was like, you know, like one thing you can do with your mortgage is just to go ahead and just like, you know, just a little financial tip. If you pay your mortgage every 2 weeks, by the end of the year, you'll have an extra mortgage payment in. Right. And for some people, that was a magic trick. In the same way, for people who get paid biweekly, you have months where you get paid three times instead of two times.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it's just that some months are longer. And once you start adding the days up, you will have snuck up and made an extra payment.
Messed around.
Yeah. And for some people, they're like, listen, I don't like paying the mortgage once a month. I'm definitely not to pay it twice a month or every 2 weeks. And we're not saying pay the full amount every 2 weeks. We're saying split up your mortgage payment in half and pay it every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But it will allow you to pay off your mortgage a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You will build equity in your home a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if you do that consistently, you could possibly pay off your mortgage in 22 years instead of 30 years.
Word. And that's without paying a dollar more than you're supposed to pay in terms of the monthly payment.
Exactly. And we didn't even talk about how much you will save, the thousands and tens of thousands of dollars you will save in interest by not carrying this loan out to full term.
So, Tiffany, in that example, you took a 30-year mortgage and you dropped it down by 8 years to 22 years.
Oh, okay.
By simply paying your mortgage every time you get a paycheck. Like, to me, that's like simple. Like, I get paid every 2 weeks. And I'll put an ACH to just pay my mortgage every time I get a paycheck. Yeah, that's going to save me 8 years worth of payments. And earlier you talked about a 15-year mortgage. So you just got 8 years right there. So now we just need to get the extra seven. And how do you do that? Add a little bit of principal, a little extra principal to that mortgage with every payment.
God forbid, when you get that tax return,
Lord.
You just put a little bit on it. You ain't got to put the whole tax return to it.
You see what I'm saying?
But maybe every tax season you pay one extra mortgage payment. That's it. And just walk away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. That it takes away years. Because again, in those first couple of years, those first 10 years are the most critical, most important part of that mortgage. The more you can make extra payments, extra principal, you are cutting years off the mortgage. I did some analysis on that same $400,000 mortgage at 7%, the one that Tiffany said you would pay $558K in interest. If you just added $100 per month to that payment, and that goes towards principal, that shaves off another 4 years. So that 30-year mortgage, we dropped it to 22 years. We're now at 18 years by just paying an extra $100 per month plus paying it every 2 weeks. There's a lot of ways to cut that 30-year mortgage down to 15 years.
Yeah, we do have to go to break, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you the tip that I do with my mortgage. Maybe you might want to try it. So stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring Black and Brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
Momentum.
So we are back?
Yes.
Mortgage madness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. And it's mad that some of y'all are out here refinancing those mortgages at these higher interest rates.
Lord help me.
So one of the strategies that I use on my mortgage, so I've always talked about how I refinance. So I started off with an FHA loan. And I think at the time my interest rate was like a 4.2 or 4.5 or something like that. And then I refinanced 9 months later in COVID and I got a 2.75 interest rate. Mm. So what happens when you refinance and you get a lower interest rate? Your payment goes down like considerably. Yeah. What I chose to do is continue to pay the same amount that I did when the interest rate was at 4.75.
Wow.
It made a meaningful impact on my mortgage payment. When I go in on my online dashboard to pay my mortgage and I apply the extra amount, you get to pick where the extra amount goes. You get to pick if you wanted to go towards interest or if you wanted to go towards principal. So I always pick for it to go towards principal.
Smart. You are shaving years, my girl. You might already be on a 15-year pace or close to it. That's a really good strategy. Like, I'm going to just tell you like this. Even if you didn't do the math, just know that extra is going to help and do whatever extra you can afford to do is bottom line.
Yeah. For me, like I didn't have an issue paying my original mortgage payment. Right. So I just refinanced to take advantage of a great opportunity. So since I was fine, I was already baked into my budget. That mortgage payment was already fine and doing well in my budget. I just kept it.
Yeah, that's smart. Same thing. So that's one way to add some extras. If you refinance, you got a low rate. Another is if you get a raise. You got a raise, you are already doing good. So take a little bit of that extra and throw it on that mortgage. You're shaving
years. But here's the thing. So many people think like, listen, I got a raise. Like I deserve that money. That money is for me. Like I should be able to enjoy that money. Here is the thing. You are enjoying it. You are enjoying it by building wealth faster, right? Like you are building wealth faster because your equity in your home and your appreciating asset is growing faster. So you are still balling. You are still, you know, doing something for yourself. Maybe you don't put the whole pay increase into your mortgage, but maybe you do. And if you do, what does that mean? It could very well mean that you get to quit that job several years earlier because your expenses are going to go down considerably because you paid off the house a lot sooner.
Yeah. And the thing about paying off a debt, right? When you pay off a debt, your rate of return is the interest rate. So a lot of times clients come to us and they say, look, I've got this loan at 2.75% or 4%. And you know, should I be putting money towards that or should I be adding it to my brokerage account? And typically we're going to say mathematically, it's smarter to add it to an investment account that's going to earn a rate of return greater than 2.75%, right? So we would tell you to invest it. But now that we see folks getting 7% mortgages, we're like, yeah, you may want to go and pay off that mortgage faster. But you also got to think about your psychology. Like some people are just averse to having debt. And they feel like the longer they're in a mortgage, like my dad feels like he got somebody's foot on his neck the whole time. And so even if your rate is low like Tiffany's, Tiffany doesn't like debt. I know that about you.
Correct.
And so making those extra payments is not about the financial return. It's about getting this thing paid off a lot more quickly.
Correct.
And you've got a lot more equity to show for it.
And what's interesting is a lot of people who reach out to us are often talking about, you know, should I pay off my student loan or should I, you know, pay off, make bigger payments on my student loan or should I take this lump sum of money towards paying off my student loan? No, how about you put it towards your mortgage? Honestly, I mean, it's a strategic thing. Like we mentioned earlier, and Alan just talked about like the rate of return, your student loan interest rate, I'm going to bet for most people is lower than your mortgage interest rate. And mm-hmm. if that is the case and you want to apply some money somewhere, go ahead and apply it to your mortgage. Give it to yourself. Don't give it to Navient. Like don't, whatever, they're constantly changing your name. Don't give it to the student loan people. Give it to yourself. Give it to your mm-hmm. children. Give it to your legacy. By again, paying off your home quicker, building your wealth faster, gaining more equity. You literally are, it's a self-serving financial strategy.
Yeah. The equity in your home is literally like a bank account, like for real. Like you can make a withdrawal by taking out an additional loan or by selling the crib. Like equity in your student loan ain't really no, like there's no way to get that money back. Like
right.
you can't cash in your degree. You can't take it down to the pawn shop and be like, here's this, you know, $100,000 degree. Like the degree gives you the chance to earn an income and, you know, but you just don't want to be in a rush to pay it off in our opinion. Okay.
Right.
So let's keep going. So other things that people are doing when they refinance their mortgages and the reason why 30% of mortgage seekers are doing it to refinance and often to a higher rate is because they're doing other stuff with it. But like a mortgage is supposed to be used for either buying a home or fixing a home. Like really true facts, that's what a mortgage is designed for. Some people are doing things like using it to go buy a car.
That's pay what for they college? Got
pay for college. Like they got car loans for paying for cars. They got student loans for paying for college.
And the interest rates on the student loans ain't that bad.
Somebody is out here refinancing business debt. Well, guess what they have for businesses? They got business loans. Because the issue with refinancing a mortgage to consolidate debt is really, I got two issues with that. Number one, like, do you have a debt problem? Like,
right.
are you,
right.
do you have a spending problem? Like, is this a Band-Aid that's just going to put you in more debt? Just because you have access to it on the mortgage? That's my first issue. My second issue is, are you going to be paying for something for way longer than you should be? Like I made the mistake and I'm always transparent and Tiffany's mostly transparent on this show. Okay. But I made the mistake years ago of buying a car with a mortgage loan. Cause I so wanted to be a big guy and walk in and pay cash.
So you wanted to pay for a car for 30 years.
I didn't want to. I didn't think about that. I just wanted to get the car and look like a big shot. Mm. I wound up using a home equity line of credit. I wound up keeping that home equity line way longer than I kept the car. I kept the car for like 7 years. I probably paid interest on that loan for 15 years.
Dang, so you ain't really even had a car no more.
Yeah, I had been got rid of that car. But think about like, what are you refinancing your mortgage to pay off? Like, is it for credit cards?
Mm-hmm.
So that sweater, you want to be paying for that, John, for 30 years? Like, look, I know you might have to do it because your credit card rate is 29%. Your mortgage rate is 6 or 7 or 8 or 9. I understand that, but you want to be really careful with what you decide to use these refinance proceeds for.
I agree 100%.
So other ideas. So going back to that person that may need money for other stuff. Right. So I'm going back to this client again. Client has only 2 or 3 years left on his mortgage. He has a home that's worth like $600,000. He only owes like $70,000. And he was about to be hoodwinked into refinancing and doing a cash out refi for $200,000 for 15 years. So he'd be in debt for another 15 years. But here would be another suggestion. Why not just get either a second mortgage or a HELOC? A HELOC is a home equity line of credit. Like, yeah, the rates are going to be high, right? Like, I'm
Correct.
Looking at a HELOC right now for this client where the rate's going to be 9%. But with the HELOC, he can borrow just the amount that he needs, right? Not a dollar more. And he still keeps the 2.9 or 3.7, whatever that low interest rate, he still keeps that. He still pays off his house in 2 or 3 years. And mm-hmm. then after that, he's got to worry about paying off this second mortgage or this home equity line of credit. So if you blend together those two interest rates, you're probably coming out better than where you would come out if you did a full refi.
Yeah. And also just being strategic to your point, once he pays off the mortgage in 2 years, he can apply more to the payments on the HELOC and probably have that paid off a lot sooner as well.
Word. Absolutely. And the HELOC, might also have an interest-only period. So like the HELOC that this particular guy is looking for, there's a 10-year interest-only period where he could borrow potentially $130K and only pay $1,000 a month on that loan because it's only going towards interest. And to Tiffany's point, once the mortgage is paid off, he can then take those dollars and start paying principal on the HELOC. So that'd be the next bit of advice.
As we're talking about mortgage madness, do you know that loans are assumable? So I found this out when I was going through my mortgage process. Having an FHA loan, most FHA loans are assumable. And so what that means is when you sell your house, you could also sell your mortgage with it. And if you have an amazing interest rate, like some of us do at 2.75, you can offer up, hey, I will, you can buy into this mortgage and have this interest rate as well. Now, I have learned there's a lot of nuances to this, but there's strategy here. There's a lot of strategy here. A lot of times when you do this, when you have a really attractive assumable mortgage, people will pay more for the house because they know they're going to get an amazing interest rate and they won't have high payments. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that gets tricky. So they can only assume the mortgage for the full amount that you took out, right? So if your house is appreciated, if you're selling your house for more than what you paid, for instance, say you bought your house for $500,000, that was your original mortgage amount, but you sell it at $700,000. The buyer can still assume your mortgage, but they can only assume it for the $500,000. They have to come up with the difference on their own, whether it's cash or another loan or something else. So you talked about those people earlier in the show who just got all this cash. If they have a large deposit, then they have to pay the difference, and then they get to assume the original mortgage that you had. And the difference in the amount that you've paid down goes directly to you as well.
I love
that. So for some people, like for the seller, it's hella attractive. For the buyer, it's just complex. Like you got to have some cash on hand to fill up that difference. But if you do, you're about to walk into the mortgage of your dreams.
Word. Absolutely. I love that.
Now you also do have to, you still have to go through the mortgage process, right? So that bank, that lender, they have to go through the lending process with them and they've got to get approved. But if they do, you now get to walk into a 2.75 mortgage. You had to put probably a good amount of cash down, but did you, boy, did you luck up?
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is advice. So if I'm a buyer, right, ask if the mortgage is assumable. Now, they may not know, like they may not realize they've got an assumable loan, right? But I would ask if I'm a buyer. If I'm a seller, maybe I market it. Like, here's the listing, but just so you know, okay, this is an assumable loan and I'd be willing to let somebody assume it. And my interest rate is only X percent.
Correct.
And that's a great way to market a home and probably get a lot more than what it's worth or what other people would be willing to pay if they got a 7% mortgage. So,
For sure.
So we're almost out of time. So a couple other things on how to get a better interest rate in today's crazy market environment. Work on your credit. We all know that there's a direct expense that goes up the worse your credit is.
Yeah, or so, savings. There's a direct savings that you could have, the better credit that you have. There is somebody who will buy the same exact house for you. Sorry, they will have, there's somebody who will buy the same exact house as you for the same amount, and y'all's mortgage payments are $1,000 more than theirs. And that's because you have bad credit.
Facts. Next, compare multiple lenders. I think a lot of times people just have the bank where they're used to going and they don't realize that these mortgage banks are competitive. Like you could talk to a broker and get quotes from multiple banks all at the same time, or you could shop around to different banks. But you definitely, if you're doing something big like getting a mortgage or a refi or a HELOC, shame on you if you're only talking to one mortgage lender.
Yeah, I think that is one really, really big piece of advice that if we're going to leave on any note, it's that one. When you are looking for a mortgage, instead of just working with a mortgage agent, work with a mortgage broker. Their job is to find you the best mortgage product for you, the best loan product for you. They're looking at all types of loans in a variety of different banks and for a variety of different reasons, and they can present you with the best option. Instead of just going to, like to Alan's point, instead of just going to your local bank, and saying, you know, what can you do for me? You can have a mortgage broker look at all the options that are available across a variety of different financial institutions, and they can bring you your best options.
Yeah. And then the final one is consider paying points. Like, you can buy down your interest rate. When rates were low, not something we tended to suggest, but now that rates are sky high, you might want to do the math. And if you don't know how to do the math, reach out to a financial advisor. Maybe they can help you do it, or a college student, a finance major. Like, it's just math. But figure out what you would actually save on the long run if you were to pay some additional money up front to get a lower interest rate. So
there we go. We started March Madness with Mortgage Madness.
There you go.
Yeah. For our listeners who are looking to buy a home, sell a home, thinking about a home, hopefully this has helped. And if you thought you were about to refinance, hopefully you put a pause on it and just rethink it. It still might be what works for you, but you might have other strategies. We will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum. Momentum.